Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not a marketing expert by any means, but in my opinion, one of the coolest marketing ideas you can have is if you can say that you have something for everyone. For me growing up, that place was the mall. So we had a mall pretty close to our house, and they actually had something for everyone. If you wanted to watch a movie, they had a movie theater in the mall. If you wanted to go clothes shopping, they had three department stores on either corner of the mall. If you needed to go get toys to bribe your kids so that they would actually let you go shopping for clothes later, they had a toy store every like 10 feet. If you wanted to get your exercise, they had a 1 mile track that you could go mall walking. And if you wanted to gain back all the calories you burnt while mall walking, they had an Auntie Anne's pretzel just waiting for you. Malls thrived under the concept that they had something for everything, something for everyone. And now Walmart and Amazon thrive under the concept that they have something for everyone. But what about Christianity? Does Christianity offer something for everyone? So that's the question we're going to try to answer this morning. Because our answer has a lot to say about not only how we live, but how we interact with other people. Does Christianity have something for everyone? See, one popular and possible answer is no, it doesn't. It offers something, but just for a few or for some. At first glance, this actually looks like it's what our text in Matthew 15 is saying, where Jesus himself says things like, I have only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. See, when we take those verses out of their concept, it sure seems like Jesus is saying Christianity is for some, but not for all. This is a really popular answer in our world today. You hear things like, church is just a country club, which kind of implies that it's for some people, or it's for good people, but it's not for all. Right now, I hear in conversations with people at least a couple times a year, church just isn't for people like me. And I don't think any of us want to agree with this answer with our words, but too often we end up agreeing with it with our actions. See, when we're not welcoming, when we don't reach out to others, what our actions are saying is this is for some, not all. And it goes even deeper than that, because our actions don't just say that there's people out there that we don't have anything to offer, that there's nothing for them. Sometimes our actions say there's nothing here for us either. See, this is the great fear of church leaders across the country in the aftermath of the shutdown, is that people will get so used to not coming to church. They'll get disconnected online. And that ultimately what will happen is they'll forget why they were part of the church in the first place. Again, none of us want to say this with our words, but oftentimes our actions speak louder than our words. When we say, I'll go to church when I have time, and it just seems we never have time. We can't remember the last time we had a personal or a family devotional moment. Where we keep saying to ourselves, yeah, I'll tune into the live stream of church, or I'll watch the recorded service afterwards. And we just keep putting off, we keep getting busy, and it just never happens. See, when we do those things, what our actions are saying is there's not something here for me anymore. Maybe there was at one point, but not anymore. And yet, when our actions fall in line with this answer, that doesn't make the answer right. Because we are guided not by what we do, but by what God says. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 56, my house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. See, the answer that Christianity has something for some or for a few may be popular today, and it may even be backed up by our actions at times, but it's not the right answer. God's word is very clear on this point. And when our actions support the answer, it's not proof of the exclusivity of Christianity. It's proof of our need to repent. So the answer isn't no. So we're back to our question, does Christianity offer something for everyone? So it really hinges on the message itself. Does the message connect with everyone? Well, we can ensure that that's the case if we make sure that the message can be changed a little bit. We can make sure that the message has something for everyone if we can tweak the message to fit whoever it is we're trying to share it with. I mean, for the sake of outreach, kind of makes sense. Let's make sure that the message fits them. Because we live in a world where there's so many different viewpoints, there's so many different ways of looking at things, and so as long as our message can be fit and changed in order to fit them, we will have something for everyone. I mean, let's be honest. There's parts in Scripture that maybe we just don't go there. Maybe we skip that reading. Maybe we cut that part out. Maybe we soften it a little bit, because that's not going to appeal to everyone. This is a pretty popular option. I mean, it makes sense. For the sake of outreach, let's just change a little bit of what we're saying. And so biblical marriage doesn't fit in with what society says. Let's update it. Or you need a couple of verses in order to back your own personal political preferences? Find something and make it work. This is a popular option for church denominations, for local congregations, and for individual believers. For the sake of outreach, let's just change the message a little bit. And when we do that, we end up being like Thomas Jefferson, our nation's third president, who literally made his own Bible. The Jefferson Bible can actually be viewed online through the Smithsonian Institute. So I was looking at it, and the first thing that I really appreciated about it was it looked like a second grade newspaper art project. He literally cut out pages of scripture and just pasted them in a notebook in four different languages, which is pretty impressive. It's only 82 pages, which includes all four languages. But the most interesting thing about it is that it ends with Jesus' body in the tomb. Page 82, that's the end of the story. No resurrection, no epistles of Paul, no ascension, no victory. See, Jefferson's Bible offers a lot of great morals, but no real hope. That is exactly what happens when anytime we think we need to change the message of God in order to have something for everyone. We end up offering a lot of great morals, a lot of great advice, but no real hope. In our search for relevance, we end up losing the only thing that makes us relevant at all. Because by its very nature, a yes but answer isn't actually a yes answer at all. Because it puts us in the position of God. It puts us above His Word, lording over it, rather than below the Word of God as a servant to it. We don't change the message of God. The message changes us. So the answer isn't no. The answer isn't yes, but maybe it's just a plain yes answer. Yes, Christianity offers something for everyone. So when we look at our text for today from Matthew 15, that's actually what we get. We have this encounter between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, and she's been crying out to Jesus, asking for him to have mercy on her daughter, who's been possessed by a demon. And she calls Jesus not only Lord, which is only a term that disciples use, she also calls him Son of David, which is interesting because she's acknowledging that he is the Messiah of the children of Israel. And yet she's a Canaanite. She's not part of the family. She's not one of the children of Israel. And yet she doesn't try to reinterpret Son of David to somehow fit her into the picture here. And she doesn't even try to disagree or contradict some of the kind of hard to hear stuff that Jesus says. It's because Jesus is speaking the truth. His target audience for his earthly ministry is the children of Israel. They're the children at the master's table, and it wouldn't be good, right, or salutary for that ministry to be changed. It seems like Jesus is saying no to this woman and her plea for mercy. He has the power to do something, but apparently he lacks the motivation. And so the woman's response to Jesus is worth a closer look. Because at first glance, it looks like she's either disagreeing with Jesus or just bringing up something he hasn't thought about before. Remember, Jesus says, it's not good to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs. And she responds, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. It seems like Jesus is saying she's not worth his time, and she's sticking up for herself and saying, yes, I am. Which makes her the hero of the story, not Jesus. And that's not what's going on here. Almost every English translation begins her answer with either yet or but even. Those conjunctions are kind of turning conjunctions, which kind of implies that she's disagreeing with Jesus. But the Greek here just says for, which is a continuation word. So her answer is yes, Lord. She's agreeing with him, and then she gives a reason for her agreement. For even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. See, what she's saying is, yes, Lord, you're right. It would not be good for you to neglect caring for the children of Israel. And I'm not asking you to do that, because I know there's something here for me too. For the master's table is so generous and plentiful that some of it falls to the ground so that even the dogs are provided for. You don't have to take away from one to give to the other. There's plenty at the table of the master. Lord, I know that your table is so generous, not only for Israel, but that there's something here for me too. And the crumbs that fall from your table are more than enough for me and for my daughter. That's why Jesus says to this woman, oh woman, great is your faith. Her faith isn't great because she said something witty or insightful. Her faith is great because she trusts in the generosity of the Savior. That's a much better answer to our question. Yes, there is something for everyone. That's the clear answer from our text, because Jesus responds by healing this woman's daughter, showing his mercy and his generosity. Christianity does have something for everyone. That's the answer from Matthew 15. It's a faithful answer. It's a good answer. And yet, it's still incomplete. See, as Christians that live on this side of the death and resurrection of Christ, we don't just look at Scripture in one isolated chapter at a time. We view the entire story of God through the lens of the cross and the empty tomb. And when we do that, we see that we don't only get a yes answer, But in Christ, we have a yes and. This became pretty clear to me this past week. I was having a conversation with someone, and I realized pretty early on that he was not familiar with Christianity. And so to kind of stir the pot a little bit, I just threw out the question, so what do you think about faith? He said, it's fine. As long as you do good to people, that's what matters. When I was having this conversation, I had a partially written sermon in my mind. And so the idea that there's something for everyone, and there's something for this man, that was what was coming into my mind. And it was in this conversation that I realized, if I just leave it there, if I tell him, hey, there's something for you here, there's something for everyone, really what I'm doing is I'm just giving him another option. Sure, you can find something in Christianity, but if you don't find what we're looking for here, you might be able to find it somewhere else. No, there's more at stake here. You see, this man needed to know not just that there's something, but the something that Christianity offers is really a someone. It's Jesus, and he is everything. In Jesus, that's the only place that you can find true peace. In Jesus, you can only find life, life now and life that goes to eternity. In Jesus, it's the only place you can find forgiveness. See, Christianity, yes, offers something for everyone, but the something that the Master offers us everything. And as I was trying to convey that to this man, trying to plant some gospel seeds, trying to make sense, I was brought back to the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. This woman who trusted in the generosity of her Savior, who knew that the crumbs from the table of her master were enough. And yet even she, with this great faith, had no clue what was coming down the road for her daughter, for all who were like her. See, after Jesus had this kind of pit stop outside of the nation of Israel, his road led him to Jerusalem, where the very people he came to minister to, the children of Israel, would deny him, would reject him, and would crucify him. But God raised him from the dead to feed forgiveness and new life to the children of Israel. And the crumbs that would fall from that table were so much more than anything this Canaanite woman could imagine. See, instead of just crumbs, what God offers through the cross and empty tomb is an invitation to the table. To all those who weren't a part of the family, it's the invitation to become a member of the family. You are invited to the full feast, not just for crumbs, not just for leftovers, but to experience the abundance of God. That's the promise that is ultimately given. It's not just crumbs. It's that all are invited into the family, into the full fellowship of the table of our generous, abundant God. So if you felt like you're not really a part of the family, you're below the table, you just deserve the crumbs, or whether you just haven't been to a family meal in a long time, know that your Lord invites you, not just for crumbs, but to the table, to experience the generosity of his forgiveness, his love, his grace, and his life. You can trust in the generosity of your Savior. I'm reminded of one of the first hospital visits I did when I was at seminary. It was a couple years ago. I went with the nursing home chaplain, and we visited a woman named Elizabeth. We had the privilege of visiting Elizabeth 1 week shy of her 100th birthday. So Elizabeth had just been taken to the hospital, and when we got there, things weren't going so great. She was disoriented, she was confused, she was dealing with memory loss. And so we go in to visit Elizabeth, and for the first couple minutes we're there, we can't understand a word that she's saying. And so rather than just awkwardly standing there, Pastor decides, well, we're going to do what we can. So he starts telling Elizabeth, hey, Jesus loves you. And he gets ready to pray with her. And all of a sudden, as clear as day, Elizabeth says, I love my Jesus. He's always with me. And she keeps repeating that over and over again. I love my Jesus. He's always with me. And so we sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. And Elizabeth sings along, and she sings the right words. In the midst of confusion, in the midst when nothing else was making sense, Elizabeth knew one thing. Jesus would provide for her. She could trust in the generosity of her Savior. And what Jesus offers is enough, is everything that she needs. I love my Jesus. He is always with me. That was enough for her. May it be enough for us as we go through life. When you're confused, when you're disoriented, when nothing seems to make sense, when you don't know what's real, when you don't know what to do next, trust in the generosity of your Savior. That He will provide for you because He is always with you. Yes, Christianity offers something for everyone. And it's everything. Because He's everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.